Boom, boom, boom. I'm Tejas. He's little Stevie. Seems like we got a little bit of a repetition going here, little Stevie.
I don't think we've done shows this quickly since college.
I love it, dude. I'm so amped. Like, we got the NFL draft to talk about. Avengers Endgame, literally the greatest movie of all time. Woo. I mean, this is going to be a poppin' show today. I cannot wait.
We had to get this one out quickly because of all that shit you just said. I mean,
What's the take on spoilers? That's the real question. Should probably just get that out ahead of time.
We will timestamp this podcast.
Because
we got to talk about Endgame. We got to talk about Game of Thrones. I don't know what we're going to start with, but we'll preface when we're about to start that, and then I'll put in the timestamp for the next segment, so you can skip it if you haven't seen either of those. If you watch
Game of... Honestly, at this point, if you haven't seen Endgame, like, you shouldn't even be listening to this podcast.
If you haven't seen Endgame, don't listen to that part or save it for later. If you haven't seen Game of Thrones and you watch Game of Thrones, I'm not sure what you've been doing for the last couple of days, but... Endgame, you actually have to leave your house for, so I'll give a little bit more of a pass on that.
Agree to disagree. I will definitely be giving some Game of Thrones spoilers away.
No, we're spoiling the shit out of everything.
Do you want? I mean, like, I found out a spoiler for the end of the season of Game of Thrones. Do we want to spoil future episodes?
I don't want to get anything spoiled. How do you know that's even a real thing?
Oh, because I got good sources.
You are in L.A. Well, they don't film in L.A.
Reddit. Free folk, baby.
Free folk.
It's unreal stuff.
I was looking at a bunch of memes on Free Folk the other day, but I didn't want to subscribe to it because I know they just spoil everything.
Yeah, I wish they'd spoil more, actually. I will say that this has been pretty uneventful. I will say I think the funniest thing about this season on Game of Thrones we'll start with Game of Thrones talk, okay? The draft can wait, you know. We're still dissecting it, as we will be all season. But what I will say, the funniest thing that's happened so far in Game of Thrones this season is the fact that Amazon Germany released the second episode as soon as the first episode dropped.
It's so ridiculous. Every year they have people leaking it. Like, every year something gets leaked. Last year, like, the Beyond the Wall episode got leaked. I remember in season 5, I watched the first 4 episodes on the first day. Because a press member leaked it, so then they stopped giving it to the press, and then just people within the network are leaking it for some reason. It's crazy. I'm sure the finale is going to leak a couple hours early.
I hope. I will definitely be watching that early.
I'm just sticking to watching them on time at this point. Unless it comes out a couple days early, I'll watch it early. But if it comes out like a couple hours early, I'm just going to wait at that point, watch it in HD.
Yes. I mean, I just want to know so I can spoil it for people. I won't lie.
That's fucked up.
That's my true intentions.
That's not right. Why? Let's talk about this, dude. But not spoiling it for people that haven't seen the next 3 episodes, which is everybody. I don't know where you're getting these spoilers.
It's like the top spoiler guy on Free Folk.
Has he been right?
Yeah, he like kind of posts with a certain amount of certainty on his spoilers. So it's juicy, dude. I'm pretty bummed. I actually read some like fan theories that I thought were spoilers, and I was like, whoa, holy shit, mind fucking blown. And then I found out they weren't real. And let me tell you, the fan theory that I read was way fucking better than the last episode. Because let's be honest, the last episode fucking sucked.
I think that's a bit harsh. Let me give my thoughts. Sucked. I thought the episode Beyond the Wall last year sucked. Like, it was so beyond dumb. Everything about it, like why they were there, what they did, what they accomplished, the fact that they sat on a little rock for like 3 days and then Daenerys just happened to come and save him, and then Benjen just happened to waltz in on his horse and come save Jon, and then told him that there's no time for him to come, even though there was. But this episode is different because it made sense why everybody was there fighting the White Walkers, at least. Like, it wasn't Like, this was a central part of the
story.
Why were they
fighting the White Walkers? We don't even know why the White Walkers existed.
I'm getting there. But, like, this it had to happen. I thought the fighting scenes were good. Some of the characters got...
Oh, you were able to see the fighting scenes? I was unable to see
the
fighting
scenes. From what I could see, yeah. It was a little
dark. I
was
literally squinting, moving up next to my TV, and looking at it like... Wow, I wear glasses. I know you do as well, but like I'm looking at the TV screen saying, "Can I even see this?" Like, what the fuck's going on?
You spent
$93 million. Now, let me just say, I don't know if last week we talked about Lord of the Rings Twin Towers, but here's the thing. Twin Towers did it right.
Two Towers.
They know how to do a fucking fight scene. But let me tell you, Game of Thrones, they need to go to the drawing board.
That's not fair, because they've had some great fight episodes. I think
Battle of the Bastards, great fight scene.
I think all of
Winterfell sucked. Weak.
I'm not going to say it sucked, but I think it was weaker than the other ones. Some of the shit was cool. Like, all the Arya scenes were pretty awesome. I really like the scene where she's creeping around the library. The Dothraki charge, while it was dumb... It was dumb that they, like, from a battle strategy perspective, but from a, like, scene in the show, yeah, it looked fucking awesome. But what bothers me here is that...
Like, what was better, Battle of Winterfell or Battle of the Billionaires?
Battle of Winterfell.
I don't know about that. I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on that one.
Anyways... What annoys me about this episode is this is 8 seasons of build up to this moment, and the Wicks fight the entire time, the dead people, the Night King has a little dragon battle with Jon and Daenerys, gets knocked off his dragon. Jon's walking towards him instead of them having a fight or something. He just raises a bunch of dead people and throws them at Jon, who gets, you know, conveniently out of that situation as always, which, you know, whatever. Bigger fish to fry here. The Night King gets to Bran with all of his White Walkers surrounding him, who didn't do anything in the episode except surround him in this scene, disposes of Theon Greyjoy quickly, which, okay, he's going to whoop Theon Greyjoy's ass.
Did Theon charge him?
What else is he going to do?
What? He got told... You've done a good job, Theon, and then he's like, man. Oh, yeah, I'm just going to go straight at him.
I think he just knew that was it. I think Bran saying that is telling Theon that, you know, it's over. But anyways, Arya sneaks in at the last second. He catches her. She hits him with the little stab in the chest. And you know what, dude? A lot of people aren't happy that it's Arya that killed him. Fuck it, man. That was pretty cool. Like, I'm fine with it. Arya's dope. Arya's had a real story arc for the past 8 seasons. In the series or the TV show, it made sense because, like, to have Melisandre and Beric Dondarrion and the Hound, like, kind of set that up because their stories have built towards something. If it's that, sure. But what annoys me is this, like, 8 seasons, 10 years of build up to this fight scene. Like, the Bran and the Night King storyline was pretty much the central plot point of the show. I know a lot of people are quick to point out that the human versus human stuff is more interesting. And, yeah, of course it is. But, like, this is it. It's over. The White Walkers ended up just being mindless zombies wanting to wipe out humanity for no reason because they made them. Bran is just a fucking dictionary. The only thing he did in this battle was be bait. And give Arya a knife last season that she would have gotten anyways because they would have just killed Littlefinger.
There's going to be something else that's going to come out. There's no way that that's what he was. There's something else that he was doing during the battle.
I don't think there was. They showed him Worgen to the Raven.
Yeah, I know, but he's and do what? Make put all those events into action. You think he was going back and? Do you think he was going back in time and doing something like making sure she got the knife? Making sure everyone met each other, that sort of thing.
No.
Kind of like the Hodor thing.
I don't think this is as complex as people want it to be. I think we want something like that to happen. because, you know, this is unsatisfying. It's completely unsatisfying. I like the episode as a whole more than you in a vacuum, but to be the ending of this whole thing, like this huge threat just gets wiped out because Arya stabs one dude with a knife. He's just a zombie. Bran is just sitting there watching with ravens. He might have been doing something, but I don't think he was. I think his use for the rest of the show will be, you know, being a raven and helping people do shit and telling them about history. But it's just like, it was just a waste of fucking time then. Like, the payoff wasn't worth how much they invested into this whole storyline. The only, like, real, intense, awesome scene that involved White Walkers in the entire series, pretty much, was Hardhome. And after all that, that was the last time any of the White Walkers fought. That was in season 5. Not a single – there was that one, like, little fight with Jon and that one White Walker in season 7. But that was it. Like, they're done. You only have to kill one of them to kill the army. Like, people will make this, like, a books versus show thing. There's a chance that the White Walkers in the books are equally purposeless. Maybe that's no. why it's taken I agree with you, but there's a chance. They could just be as dumb in the books. I don't think it'll end like this. I don't think Arya would be the one to kill him because, A, the Night King, we don't know if that exists in the book, and, B, she never meets Melisandre, and Beric is dead in the book. Sorry for anyone who's reading it.
Hold on. Beric's dead in the book?
Yeah.
Beric die?
Do you know the whole, like, Lady Stoneheart thing? Like, yes. I don't want to, like, go into that for people who are reading the books.
But you can, because it's not, she's obviously not coming into the TV show.
And no, I know, but in case, because it doesn't really matter for this argument, but he comes back, or he gives his last life to bring back Lady Stoneheart. I don't want to say who that is in case people are reading the books now, because I'm sure some
people
will be.
Spoiler alert, Catherine Stark.
We don't have to say that. It doesn't affect our conversation at all.
Spoiler episode. Well, I just want the fans to be able to find everything out, you know?
Well, whatever. But anyways, it's just like, if this is it, like, you can defend all the episodes. Like, this plot didn't come to a satisfying conclusion, and it was just a waste of time. And if this was going to be it, then rush the storyline to fit into last season, end it there, so we could get a full season of ending the saga instead of 3 episodes that we're going to get now. You know, like, they killed off, like, people are saying they didn't kill off a lot of characters, and they didn't kill anyone of consequence. I don't think that matters, but, like,
it does, because it literally makes no sense why they had all these setup episodes to make you fall in love with the characters, then all they care is freaking kill is Beric.
Well, they killed Beric, Theon, Jorah, the entire Dothraki left in the world, which was a little ridiculous. Melisandre, fucking Lyanna Mormont, Dolores Ed, he was donezo though. If there was betting odds on who was gonna survive this episode, I think Beric and Dolores Ed would have been 1 and 2.
Dolores
no
Ed,
shot
oh,
whatsoever.
The guy from the Wall.
Yeah, the only guy in the Night's Watch left.
Poor guy. He's a beast.
I think the problem with that though was, like, Sam should have died 15 times in this episode. Like, they kept putting him in these situations where he almost dies, and he doesn't do anything to get out of them. Like, he's doing a shitty job fighting people. Ed saved him once, but he just, like, didn't die. Like, I get Jon Snow.
Explain to me how the Onion Knight is still alive, okay?
Was he, like, I didn't even really notice him after he dropped the torch or whatever. Like, did he fight people? Daenerys is out there swinging a fucking sword. She's never picked up a sword in her life.
Yeah, dude, shit happens, bro. Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think I like this episode more than you, clearly. It's probably not one of my favorite episodes of Game of Thrones, but it was super intense. Even if the payoff was weird, like, I think Arya's storyline has been awesome. The Crips shit was predictable, but
no issue with Arya's storyline.
Yeah. Well, this was, like, a moment for her, I guess. I don't know. It's just a shitty payoff to the White Walker story. Like, I get that they're not interesting characters, but then
they are interesting characters.
They might not be. They can't even talk.
I think they're super interesting. That's what makes them interesting.
Yeah, the mystique about him is what's interesting. And I think not digging into any of that, like we did a little bit. If knowing what we know from the show, their motivations were the Children of the Forest created them to kill humanity, and that's what they're trying to do. Why they waited 8,000 years to march back south to do this, I don't fucking know. Like, it's there's information that they gave us in the show as to what their motivation was, but it's just dumbass motivation. It's a shitty plot line, and I don't think it was worth spending that much time on if this is all it's going to be, if they don't have another ace in the hole with this storyline, with Bran or anything. Bran becomes a Three-Eyed Raven. Oh, he just watches people. The actual Three-Eyed Raven was doing shit beyond the wall. He got Bran to come up to him with the Reeds and with Benjen, and he was fighting the White Walkers. Bran wasn't, but he didn't fight them at all. He brought them to where they needed to be to die, I guess. That was it. I guess that's kind of fighting them, but I don't know, man. It was weird payoff.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I, as I said, didn't like the episode. Honestly, not even sure how excited I am about what stupid Arya did. She's corrupt, dude. She's corrupt.
You can't, what do you mean she's corrupt?
You can't cheer for her. She's been corrupted. She's a murderer.
Yeah, but who has she killed? Like that? Well, she did kill like kids in the first season.
Doesn't matter if you're killing good or bad people. You're still killing people.
Every character in the show is a murderer. In the words of the Hound, Joffrey's a murderer. Your father was a killer. Your brother was a killer.
My brother's a
killer. Samwell Tarly killed a White Walker.
Dude, he's not a real murderer, though.
He killed it then. He said it 90 times.
Yeah, I know. All he did is talk about how he killed a White Walker. He's so beat.
I put out an unpopular opinion that I feel like nobody agrees with that. I thought last week's episode was way better. I thought that was one of the better episodes of the show. That episode was awesome.
This whole season sucked. Honestly, if you're watching Game of Thrones, just turn on Veep instead.
Well, Veep has been great, but I think this season has been okay. I'll give them – there's only three episodes left. You know what, man? I hate how they finished the White Walker storyline. It was dumb. But if we get a satisfying conclusion to the rest of the show, which, to be honest, I don't think we're going to. I hope we do. I hope I'm wrong. Then I'll forgive it. Like, if the next three episodes are awesome, if the payoff in the finale for all the seasons of build-up works and they stick the landing, I'll be fine with it. I don't think the season's been that bad. I think it's better than last season. Outside of the one episode where they fight in King's Landing with the dragons and the Dothraki, there's like not really much to like about that season. So I think this has been better. I think episode one was okay. I think episode two was awesome. There's a lot of great scenes in that. And then this episode, bad payoff for the plot, but it was still like crazy well shot. Like that dragon scene, we didn't even talk about that, was insane. Like cinematography on that. I think I was so bummed by the last season that I'm fine with this season. No matter how dumb the conclusion was to this White Walker plot here, leagues and leaps and bounds better than the three-episode arc of going beyond the wall to get one wit to give it to Cersei to get her 1,000 men to join your army.
I guess I don't really remember that much about that that whole portion.
Because it was dumb. Tyrion is the worst hand of all time for Daenerys.
Why?
Because of that whole plot. He literally sent them beyond the wall. They lost a fucking dragon so they could bring one little zombie to try and convince Cersei in the army that they just burned alive to join them to fight the White Walkers, even though they didn't need their army at all. And she said, yeah, I'll do it. It was worth it. They lost a dragon. Nope. Turns out she's a fucking liar. Everybody knew it. And that's it.
Shit happens, dude. Shit happens.
Well, I'm saying whatever. He's been a shitty hand.
Whatever. We'll call it a shitty season. We'll move on. So next on the docket, Should we talk Endgame or should we talk? I feel like Endgame maybe we should do at the end of the pod, but
yeah, let's
I mean,
save it for the
honestly,
end.
we kind of need a lot of time to talk about Endgame.
Do you want to talk about it now? I don't care.
I'll just give a couple points that I got.
Wait,
I got
intro music for this.
Oh, play it.
Let me take you on a little trip. My supersonic ship's at your disposal. All right, we're pulling up in a little pickup truck, sitting in the back in a new Asgard, and you're about to give your thoughts on the movie.
Oh, where do I start? Best movie I've ever seen. Really solid, really all around solid movie.
Best theater experience, probably.
Best theater, most emotionally draining movie I've ever seen. And I say that in a totally positive light because you were just so sad. At the end of that movie, you're just so sad.
Yeah, it was draining, man.
I think it's what I was telling one of my other friends is you will never see a movie like this ever again because it took fucking 22 movies to get to this point. Like, think about the investment that there had to be.
Yeah. No, we never will. Like, I didn't think, the way I felt watching the first Avengers movie in theaters would ever be topped. Like, Age of Ultron did not. I think Infinity War was close, but it didn't. But this definitely did. Like, this was insane. Just, like, bananas from wall to wall. Like, surprise you at every turn. Like, there was some plot points you could predict, but, like, I don't think anyone predicted Thanos to get his head cut off in the first 15 minutes of the movie. Like, you could say, yeah, you thought there was going to be time travel. I don't think you predicted they were going to go back into Thor the Dark World and take the stone out of Natalie Portman's body. Like, it was just crazy, man. So much crazy shit happens in this movie.
I think that's the thing that I was most impressed with is that they were able to make it, like, you know, it was a pretty, like, okay, here's what's going to happen. They have to go back in time. Like, I think everyone knew that that's what was going to happen.
Yeah, and also, and so if you haven't seen it and you're listening to this, like, stop. You should stop when you heard the music.
And I think that's, like, one of the things that they did really well is that they were able to, like, keep you on your toes and not know what was going to happen next. And I think a big part of that was the fact that they went back to – God, I hate the fact that I – there's no way I'm spoiling this for anyone.
No, we're good. We're going back, full spoilers now.
The fact that they went back in time and, like, they went back to prior movies and, like, different things that happened in those movies, I think that was really cool and definitely definitely made an impact on me.
Yeah, somebody said, like, this was, like, you were basically, like, reliving, like, the greatest hits of the MCU. And, like, yeah, that was sweet. They went back into Avengers. They didn't go back into Doctor Strange, but they went back with the Ancient One, who, obviously, it's Doctor Strange, spoilers, dies in that movie. Thor the Dark World, which, like, everybody hates. They go back to that and are making people want to go back and watch that movie again. And
I actually like Thor Dark World.
That's
the second one, right?
Yeah, I'll defend that one.
I actually won't lie. I don't think I've ever seen the first one.
I love the first one. I'm a huge defender of that movie.
I got to watch that one still. Yeah. I think it's just sad that we won't see these characters again.
I know.
Like, it's just like, it's the perfect send-off, but like, Cap... Dude, you gotta love Cap. But I mean, like, they're, as you said, kind of like kept talking about Game of Thrones story arcs, yada yada yada. Their story arcs really played out. It is interesting though that, like, Spider-Man's not done yet. So, is he the most popular Avenger?
Well, him and Black Panther.
Well, I disagree with that. Not Black Panther. I think Iron Man's more popular than Black Panther.
Oh, I'm saying I'm saying without not counting Iron Man anymore. I thought that's what you meant. Like, who's the new, like, most popular?
No, I meant more from, like, a fan standpoint. Because, like, you know, like, Iron Man, I really knew nothing about him. Like, you know, as a kid, I didn't really read comics or anything like that. So when the first Iron Man movie came out, I was, like, kind of skeptical. But I think Robert Downey Jr. is the biggest, most important piece in this series.
Yeah, and it's... Like, I wasn't sure they were going to get rid of him. It's Cap, I think it's like the writing was on the wall that he was done with these movies. Well, it's just Chris Evans wasn't planning on doing them anymore. Downey, like, seemed like he loved being in all these. And he, like, you know, he did Homecoming, which he did Homecoming, he did Civil War. Even though they're not making Iron Man movies, he's still showing up in these movies. So for him to be the one to sacrifice at the end instead of Cap was surprising. But I think also, from a story standpoint, made the most sense and was the most, like, satisfying plot. Like, you mentioned the arcs. Like, his arc is complete. Like, that's what everything's building up to. Like, there's a line in the first Avengers movie when, like, Cap's talking to him and he's like, "You're not the guy who'd make the sacrifice play. Like, lay down on the wire so somebody could walk across it." And here we are. He's making the sacrifice play. He knew going into this whole thing that, you know, Doctor Strange saves his life and says there's one timeline where they win. And they need Tony Stark to do it. Which, you know, to Tony, he probably knows, like, that's it. And then in that scene in the final fight where he holds up his finger like one, like, Tony knows he ain't surviving that snap. Like, that's it for him. He's cashed. And for him to still go through it when he's got a daughter and shit, like, that was awesome. It's just a well-told movie.
He is really... just unbelievable. You gotta love him.
Yeah. Most important thing, did you notice Matthew Berry in this movie?
I think you told me that after the fact, and I still am not sure. I actually think that that's Matthew Berry.
If you know who Matthew Berry, ESPN's Matthew Berry is, and you didn't notice in the movie, when you rewatch it, he's Robert Redford's bodyguard in the scene where they're trying to take the briefcase from Tony. In the past. So just point that out.
Why did he get a cameo?
I have no idea.
Why did he need a cameo?
Well, dude, if you get a cameo in this movie, you do it.
Yeah, I agree. So is Guardians of the Galaxy 3 going to be looking for Gamora? Like, OG Gamora, is she actually gone?
I think she is, but you never know.
I don't think she can be, because think about it. Like, there can't be two soul stones.
Yeah, well, we know they can time travel now. They could go to other timelines and get Gamora. I think they made a point to note that the soul stone can't be undone. Like, maybe because somebody else took it, then maybe Gamora comes back. But, like, we know, like, they mentioned multiple times that, like, Hulk was like, he tried to get Natasha back and he couldn't, like, he couldn't bring her back with the stones. So I don't, they might just be like, fuck it, who cares, like, about that part and just get her back somehow anyways. They might use the 2014 Gamora, but I don't know. We'll see what that movie is. I think that, like, that one scene and then obviously Falcon getting the shield were, like, the only two future movies they teased at all here. Which I liked. Like, I liked that it was just, like, this is it. This is the end of, like, this chapter of all these characters.
So, like, does the Falcon become Captain America? Is that... We're both kind of seeing that, right?
But, yeah, he literally hands him the shield.
It's kind of interesting.
I don't know if he's, like... I doubt he's going to wear, like, the Star-Spangled suit. But he's definitely, like, going to take up the mantle. And they're making a Falcon and Winter Soldier TV show for the Disney app.
Is it going to be those two actors?
Yeah. They said, like, they're producing a couple shows on Disney Plus, and it's, like, Marvel Studios, like, Kevin Feige producing and overseeing the shows. So they're, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, is, like, barely canon, but these shows are, like, they're using the actors in the movies. They're, Marvel Studios is producing the shows, like, with an eye on them. Also, speaking of TV shows, I don't think anybody noticed this except people who watched Agent Carter, which wasn't that good. So I don't think you need to watch if you haven't. But in the scene when we talk about when they went back to the 70s and Tony talks to his dad, Butler Jarvis is there, who is from the TV show, which is the first time any TV Marvel characters have showed up in a movie, which was great. Even though I don't even like the show that much, I was like, holy shit, they did it.
Yeah, no, that was interesting. I thought it was really cool to see Jarvis there. You know, the other thing is that, I don't know, it's just kind of crazy to think that there's, like, all these different canons, you know? I think they just got to kind of come out there and make a point to kind of explain it all, you know?
What do you mean, like, all the timelines?
Yeah, exactly, because kind of what you're saying, you know, like, the fact that there is all these different things going on that you just can't tell.
Well, I think they're just
going to... Hold on 1 second. We got to pause the show.
We are unpausing the show.
So how's your butt dial? They need to... Yeah, sorry. Butt dial. We had to quickly... Temporarily suspend Taos and Lil Stevie, but we're back. But I'm just... You know what? Here's the thing. It kind of adds to the excitement if you don't know, like, what's what, and you just kind of speculate, but I just always like knowing. I'm just one of those people who I want the answer, like Inception. I want to know what happened. Like, was he in the dream or not? It's a good fucking question, right?
I think they're just going to stay in the main timeline, and like, we know the alternate realities exist. Like, if they wanted to ever make like a live action Spider-Verse movie, they like the seeds are there now. I don't think they will. But I think they're just going to stay in the main timeline that they've been in.
When does the first Iron Man remake come up?
Not for a while. I don't think they need to, because now they have Fox back. Like, before they reboot Iron Man, they'll probably start rebooting X-Men. They might just have different characters take up the mantle. Like, they kind of planted the seeds with in Iron Man 3 when they had that little kid who... in this movie shows up at the funeral at the end, which, like, none of the characters...
Who the heck is that dude?
Just a kid from Iron Man 3. Like, not that this matters at all, but, like, nobody else in the movie ever met that kid. I don't know who invited him. I don't know how he found Tony Stark's private ranch at his funeral, but, like, whatever. Who cares?
That's the guy who's in the very far back, right?
Yeah, like, that random dude. Like, everyone's like, who the fuck is that? Because he's not a kid anymore. Like, movie came out years ago. Yeah, it was little kid from Iron Man 3, Harley.
Still couldn't tell you who the little kid from Iron Man 3 was.
I'm sure you haven't watched Iron Man 3 in a while.
Yeah, no shit.
I loved Professor Hulk in this movie.
Oh, he's hilarious. Incredible.
I loved Fat Thor. A lot of people didn't like that he stayed fat, but like, what was he going to do, go work out? Like, yeah, you're going to hit the gym in between getting back from getting the stone and fighting Thanos, which was, like, a couple hours. Like, what do you want him to do? Some people said they could throw him back into the machine, like, when they turned Ant-Man into a kid earlier in the movie and bring him back out.
I actually thought that's what they were going to do.
Yeah, but they didn't need to. And, like, him coming in, like, when he grabbed the shit in his beard braids, like, that was ridiculous. That was awesome.
Yeah. I agree. It gives you a lot of respect for the Hemsworths. Well, actually, to be honest, who cares about the other Hemsworth? But it gives you a lot of respect for this Hemsworth.
Well, what about Luke from Westworld?
Luke?
Luke Who's Hemsworth. He's in Westworld.
Newest season of Westworld?
He's in both of them. He plays, like, the security guard.
I couldn't even tell you who he is.
He also plays Thor in Loki's play in Thor Ragnarok.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Opposite Matt Damon. Speaking of Thor, as soon as he got the hammer back, I was like, first thing when he grabs it, I was like, oh my god, Cap is totally picking up this hammer. Like, no doubt. Really? There's no reason to bring this hammer back in unless he's doing that. Like, that's why you get this shit back. But it was still awesome. And I just assume, like, they kept showing the hammer sitting on the ground. Like, I assume they just show him walking up to it and picking it up. But him calling for it was so much cooler.
I actually had no clue that they were going to have him pick it up.
I just had a feeling because, like, they brought it back in there. I was like, this is probably the last Captain America movie. Like, this is their last chance to do that. They have to do it.
In the comics, does he use it?
Yeah, he didn't, like, use that often, but he's worthy. Like, it's known he's worthy. And he does use it, like, once or twice. And they showed it shaking in Age of Ultron in the scene.
Yeah, I remember that one. That one was great.
Like, he might have been worthy. He might have not been. He might have just, like, not picked it up on purpose. But Thor being like, I knew it. Like, I think that means that he just didn't pick it up.
It's funny. James Spader, what a guy. Gotta love James Spader.
Gotta love James Spader.
I've been watching a lot of Boston Legal. Sorry, that's the context behind that wow. James Spader drop right there.
What'd you think of the portal scene?
Portal scene. Elaborate.
The scene where the entire universe walks out of portals.
Well, hold on. There are two types of portals. There's the time traveling portal Thanos comes through.
Fair enough.
So, first thought it was so fucking sick whenever Thanos starts going through the portal. I was like, fucking A. Thanos is the fuck. First off, I'm Team Thanos, by the way. I think Thanos is literally one of the greatest villains of all time.
I agree.
Where would you rank him? What other villains would you put up there with Thanos?
I mean, like Darth Vader. Who'd you say?
Lashif.
Who is Lashif?
From Casino Royale.
Oh, I actually haven't seen Casino Royale.
What?
I know.
Dude,
I know.
You haven't seen Casino Royale? You're crazy, bro.
I know.
That's a child's play. Movie's unreal.
Yeah, dude, he's like our generation's Darth Vader, man. He's going to stand the test of time as an iconic bad guy. I like that they made him more, like, ruthless in this movie. Like, in Infinity War, he's kind of, like, worn down. Like, he just wants to do this. Like, he loses everyone. He's dealing with the grief. This movie is, like...
You're kind of right. He is very ruthless in Infinity War.
Yeah, this movie is like, fuck y'all. Like, this is personal. I'm about to kill all of you because you guys are annoying.
Interesting.
He's way more like the Mad Titan that he is. Like...
Yeah, you're really right. It must be part of the fact that, like, in this movie, he even kind of talks about it, is like, I did it. I managed to do it. And, like... Yeah,
destiny fulfilled.
Yeah, and, I don't know. He's also just like, I don't know, man. You're such a good point, because I was just thinking about the fact that he has the, whatchamacallit, I'm trying to think of how to, like, say it without sounding like a total jackass. He has, like, that double-edged sword, and the double-edged sword is, like, so gnarly.
Yeah. But and why couldn't you, like, figure out how to say that?
Hey, I didn't know what you would call that thing. Just double-edged sword, I guess, is what it is. But, I don't know. Just, like, when he's blocking the attacks from Tony Stark with it, like, twirling it around, I'm just like, damn, he is such a badass.
Yeah, he kicked ass in that fight. And, like, my point before, like, he's so arrogant, he just assumes somebody's going to go get him the gauntlet. He literally just sits down and chills, like he'd been doing for the past 5 years until Infinity War. Like, he's trying to kill the Avengers. And in Infinity War, the only people he kills the entire movie are Heimdall, Idris Elba, because, like, he transports the Hulk. He kills Loki because Loki tries to kill him. And he kills Vision because he has to. He doesn't kill anybody else. Oh, and Gamora, but, like, obviously that's different. And obviously he felt bad about that.
It was interesting that Vision wasn't in this at all.
Yeah, not at all. I was surprised they didn't even mention it. Like, I think they planted the seeds with the scene where they're getting the shit out of his head in Infinity War if they want to bring him back. Just without the stone, like, it wouldn't be as strong, but, like, they said there's still a lot of Vision left. But yeah, he didn't show up at all. Black Widow's just dead, even though there's a Black Widow movie coming out next year. Like, that was really surprising, because, like, if you knew that movie was coming out, you probably thought she was like the safest character, and they just hurl her off a cliff because they don't want to kill Hawkeye, which made it like, again, that was the best ending they could have given her character. Like, that was fitting. It would have made more sense, like, for the viewer, for Hawkeye to die, because he just became a ruthless psychopath. But, like, that was Nat's ending. She was clearly the most hurt by this, I think, besides Thor, by everything that went down. So, like, she sacrificed herself to save everybody. So did Tony.
Yeah, I'm a big Hawkeye fan. I was okay with it. I was actually probably more sad to see him go, even though I do love Natalia Romanoff. Hawkeye just is, like, dope.
Well, at least we know, like, the Black Widow movie's happening. I don't know when it's going to, like, take place in the timeline, but it's happening. There's rumors that there's going to be a Hawkeye TV show. So I hope that happens, because that would be cool.
Dude, that would be dope.
Yeah.
Hawkeye's the man, dude. You can't hate Hawkeye.
Yeah, what else happened in this movie? A rat saved the universe by walking over the quantum tunnel in Ant-Man's van and pushing the button.
Why did Ant-Man have such a profound role in this movie? I thought that was pretty interesting.
I loved it as a huge Ant-Man advocate.
I know
you're
a huge Ant-Man fan, so that's kind of why I'm asking you that, because I knew that you were, like, all about it, and I think it actually worked out really well. And,
him being there, like, because the tone was so, like, grim for, what, the first 20, 30 minutes of this movie until he shows up. And even, like, his first scene is, like, super dark, where there's, like, the whole park of just monuments of people that disappeared. His scene with his daughter is, like, intense. And then he just shows up, starts eating other people's sandwiches.
There's going to be another Ant-Man movie, right?
It's not, like, set in stone, but I think they'd be foolish not to after the role he had in this movie. Ant-Man 2 didn't make a ton of money. Like, it did make a ton of money. We made a ton of money, but compared to all the other Marvel movies.
I was a big fan of Ant-Man 2, actually.
I loved both of them. I don't know which one I like more.
I think that's a valid argument.
Yeah, but we'll see if they do that, but I loved him in this movie. He was a big part because, you know, he was in the thing for 5 years. It was 5 hours. They mentioned a time vortex specifically in Ant-Man and the Wasp in the scene where, spoiler alert, the Wasp and all of them get snapped in the post-credit scene. So I think that's why he was there. But he was great, dude. He was hilarious. Like, you kind of needed him to be there to just, like, lighten up the mood a little bit.
That's a good call. I didn't even think about how he lightened up the mood. That's a very valid point.
I did my homework, dude. I'm fucking ready to talk about this.
Interesting.
I got all types of tidbits. Ant-Man and the Wasp made $622 million against a $160 to $190 budget, which is huge.
Huge.
Yeah, but, like, you know how much all the other movies made, like, it, compared to them, it's not like Captain Marvel just made $1 billion.
God, like, my least favorite one out of all of them.
Not high up on my list, but I enjoyed it. Captain Marvel in this movie,
horrible.
I wouldn't say horrible. It just, like, my only complaint was, like, you didn't want to invite her on the time heist, but a lot of people, like, I posted about that on Reddit, and a lot of the responses I got were, they didn't want to have her there because they wanted it to be about, like, the original Avengers and those scenes, which is, like, yeah, it's true, but as we say in wrestling, from a kayfabe perspective, like, she's still, you'd think you'd want to call the most powerful person you know, but then, like, people were, like, it was a stealth mission, like, what the hell do they need her for? Like, what's she gonna blow shit up? What's it gonna accomplish? Which is, like, kind of a lame excuse, but also, like, makes a little sense. Like,
but here's the other thing too. You forgot about her at the end, like, when you're like, oh shit, you know, like, Thanos is raining down from above and you're just like, okay, how are they going to, like, get out of this?
Yeah, and I liked her in the last scene. She comes and blows up the ship right away. Has that funny, like, conversation with Spider-Man. You think once she starts fighting Thanos that she's just gonna take the gauntlet and be the one that wins. And I like that, like, she gets knocked off. He puts the glove on. Then she goes back and gets it. She's about to get it off. He has to grab the power stone and fucking knock her off. So, like, she's still super fucking strong, but Thanos was able to outsmart her. And then Iron Man jumps in, obviously. But I think she was in this movie the right amount. I think it was fine, her role. I don't think she needed to be in anymore. I like Captain Marvel. She's the worst
character ever. That haircut.
Horrible. I love the haircut.
Horrible.
But what else happened in this movie? Korg played Fortnite, which was a thing.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
There was, like, I loved how many callbacks there was to all the other movies. Like, them doing the pose from the end of the Avengers, and Tony's just like, we can stand here and pose all day if we wanted to. We didn't even talk about the elevator scene in this movie.
Like, that was amazing when he says Hail Hydra.
Yeah, phenomenal. If you don't remember, like, it was basically setting up the same exact scene from The Winter Soldier. I don't know why it took me so long to remember that. And, like, Cap says a lot of the lines that they say in that movie, in that scene. And then he just goes, Hail Hydra, and walks out with the briefcase, fights himself. And then they lose.
That was dope.
Yeah, they lose the Tesseract because they make the Hulk take the stairs. And Loki just escapes with the Tesseract. That opens a whole nother wormhole, like, in the timeline.
So I was actually, like, one of the worst things about Infinity War is that Loki dies. Because I actually think that, I forget the actor's name. I think he's, like, one of the best characters, though.
Yeah, Tom Hiddleston.
His just acting prowess is so good.
Yeah. Well, I think because Captain Marvel did so well, and obviously because they're making Black Widow, I don't think they're going to be afraid to make movies that take place, like, earlier in the timeline. Like, it doesn't all have to be present-day movies.
But where does he fit into any of these, though, you know? That's kind of, like,
yeah, I don't know.
Question.
They're making a TV series for him, too, but I have no idea what it's going to be about.
With Hiddleston in the TV series?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. It's just, like, he's a big-name actor. I just kind of have a hard time seeing him actually doing, like, a TV show, you know?
Well, I think I think most of the shows they make are going to be miniseries, you would think. Like, not that all, like, they're making a Scarlet Witch one, too. Like, not that these people are huge actors, but a lot of them are already in TV shows. Like, I think Anthony Mackie's going to be in the, what's that Netflix show? Carbon something? Altered Carbon? Does that sound right?
Who's Anthony Mackie?
Falcon.
Oh, Falcon.
Yeah.
I mean, I could care less about the Falcon. He was one of my least favorite Avengers.
I love Falcon.
Dude, the show could have gone on without him.
You're not wrong, but, like, I liked Falcon a lot.
Like, the only cool thing is that him and Cap are boys.
I love his every conversation he has with Bucky, especially in Civil War.
I like Bucky, dude. Bucky's awesome. How do you hate Bucky? You can't.
Nah.
Just plain and simple.
I don't know. Like, there's no characters in these movies that, like, I don't care for, really, except some of the
James
villains.
James Spader?
No, I like Dawes. I don't know. I liked, and I think I mentioned this, but I don't know if I mentioned this on our podcast, like, the problem with the Ultron movie was that everyone was just quipping nonstop.
Who directed that one again?
Joss Whedon. Like,
what other ones did he do? Because I know that you just have a hard-on for hating on Joss Whedon.
No, he did the first Avengers movie. I love the first Avengers movie.
First Avengers movie was so sick.
Yeah. I liked Age of Ultron, too. I feel like I mentioned this on our last podcast, but I'm going to say it again because we might have more people listening. Thanos doesn't crack a joke at all in these two movies. Not one joke. There's plenty of jokes in both the movies, but none of them come from Thanos. Ultron was out there talking about breaking omelets and shit. Like, that, he would have been more frightening if he wasn't just cracking jokes at every turn.
Yeah.
And Thanos, I think, is pretty, I think we could say it now, the best villain they've ever had in Marvel movies.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
The only other ones that were, like,
Black Panther, Michael B. Jordan, the villain in Black Panther,
was yeah, he was solid. Great. He's up there. Like, Loki's up there, but he's not really a villain. What's it? Winter Soldier, but he's definitely not a villain.
Yeah.
But yeah, really, but, like, Marvel stepped up their villain game for sure. Yeah. That was the worst part of the first set of movies. Even the
Red
second
Skull
set
was actually pretty awesome.
Red Skull, yeah, he was cool. He wasn't the worst, but like compare Red Skull to Killmonger and Thanos, even Michael Keaton and Spider-Man was awesome.
Dude, that's because Michael Keaton's a fucking badass.
I really like the bad guy in Ant-Man and the Wasp, too. Bad girl, I should say. Bad woman. Zemo in Civil War was great. Ghost was the bad guy in Ant-Man and the Wasp. She, like, kept disappearing.
Oh, yeah. She was good. Yeah. I think Deadpool, Ajax, actually one of the best bad guys.
Yeah. Deadpool, I don't know how they're going to work him into the MCU, but they're definitely going to.
They have to. He's so popular.
Yeah. Is this your number one Marvel movie?
It's a good question. I really liked Infinity War.
Yeah. I think...
But this one, like, really, I was tearing up pretty heavily.
I think Infinity War was a better movie, but this was, like, it was perfect, dude. Like, they couldn't have finished the saga more perfectly. Like, I don't think it's the best, like, just straight-up movie, because it's a ton of fan service. It's a ton of, like, I think I enjoyed it so much because there was so much shit for me, somebody who's obsessed with all this shit for the past 10 years. Like, so many, like, callbacks and things I could pick up that you wouldn't, like, not everyone would notice. And, like, the ending was great, and it was really satisfying. But it's probably, like, maybe, like, number 5 or number 4 or around that range for me. I think my top 3 would still be, I don't know what order, but Guardians, Winter Soldier, and Infinity War. I think Endgame would probably come in at, like, 4 or 5.
Yeah, I just think, there's just, like, you have to kind of look at it. There's so many different things you kind of have to judge with this one. Because, one, it's a sequel. So, like, for a sequel, unreal. Like, because the premise is already set. You know, like, with Infinity War, you didn't know what to expect. This one, you knew you knew they were going to take Thanos on.
Mm-hmm.
That was a given. So... I think it's already at a disadvantage, but just like how they wrapped up the story is amazing. But I think we've been a dead horse. We got to talk NFL draft.
All right, let's do it.
You got any lead up music, or are we just going to jump right into it?
I could pull up some lead up music.
I just feel like you normally have some sort of lead up music.
I want to wrap up by saying, like, this was... We talk about, like, the balls it took to make this, like, some of the shit they did in this movie for this about to be the biggest movie of all time. Like, they know it. They ended the movie with Captain America dancing with a chick who's been in essentially one movie for an actual role. And, like, that was a lot of faith to put in the audience for that scene to work, and it definitely worked. But, like, they just ended potentially the biggest blockbuster movie in the history of movies with Captain America dancing with his old girlfriend. Not even a girlfriend. They kissed once.
It's perfect, though.
Yeah, it was perfect. All right. This is the wrong sport, but we're going to play this.
Fuck yeah. It's exactly what I wanted.
Hopefully the copyright chiefs don't come and get us for all this music we're playing. But... I'm pretty sure we're allowed to play whatever we want as long as we're not making money off of this, which we're not.
And I think you have to give credit, so credit to NBC, I believe.
Credit to NBC, credit to who's the other band we played? The Avengers song, I gotta look. The Kinks, and credit to whoever sings Green Onion.
Samuel L. Jackson.
All right, do you want to talk about the draft?
Okay.
See, my,
biggest
I don't
winner,
have
biggest loser.
I don't have a ton of takes here because the Rams didn't pick until 61. We just kept trading back. We drafted a fucking running back, which we don't need.
Yeah, who's the running back you guys drafted?
Darrell Henderson, who looks like a beast.
Who the hell's Daryl Henderson?
He's out of Memphis. He has the Division One record
for
most yards per carry.
Yeah, yeah, I liked it.
We have so much money invested in Gurley, so either we're nervous about Gurley, which is not good, or we don't need this guy.
I'm nervous about him. Very nervous about Gurley. Don't like the knee injury. Don't like it one bit.
Yeah, well, who's your winner here?
You know who really crushed it, in my opinion? Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, they got Josh Allen, right?
Yeah. They got Josh Allen, and in the second round, they got, I think his name's like Juwan Johnson.
Juwan Taylor.
Juwan Taylor, the offensive tackle out of Florida. And he was like projected a top 10 talent. It sounds like there are some potential injury concerns, but to get a top 10 talent who doesn't have off the field issues like Randy Gregory in the second round, I consider that a steal.
Yeah, dude, they had a good draft. So, I liked I thought Seattle taking DK Metcalf at 64 was great.
Cleaned up.
Like DK Metcalf's, that's the kind of guy where like if your team drafts him at like 20, you're like, Jesus fucking Christ, like what are we doing? But you'd be at 64, dude. Hell yeah. Gladly talk myself into that.
Part of what's great about where they drafted him at is he's a very emotional guy. I would not be surprised if he has a huge chip on his shoulder his whole career, and he plays to that.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. He's going to be a project, but at least he could go get you a jump ball, you would think, to start things off.
And you lose Doug Baldwin. I mean, they had to get a wide receiver, and they did, so.
Yeah. Patriots grabbing a receiver at 32. I thought that was a good pick.
Who'd they take?
N'Keal Harry out of Arizona State.
I don't even know anything about him except that he went to
State. I don't know shit about half these guys. Half is generous. I have been pretty vocal about how I don't know if it's been on this show, but if we have any listeners from my Rams podcast, I've been pretty vocal about how shitty of a job I think the Cardinals are doing. That has continued into this by giving up on their 1 year quarterback to get Kyler Murray. I think if they're completely out on Josh Rosen, then you do this. But, like, I feel like they're not. I feel like they just like Kyler Murray more. And when there's a guy like Nick Bosa there, I think you need so many things. I think you just go and get Bosa. I already don't like the coach they hired at all. You get fired from your job as a college coach. Can't even get another job as a coordinator as a head coach.
We disagree on that. I'm a big Cliff Kingsbury guy. Definitely shouldn't have been fired from Texas Tech. But I'm also a big – so Ken Wisenhunt's funny. He had a strategy. You always take the best player available. Nick Bosa, without a doubt. We've known this for years that he's the best player. And so that's why, like, I was going to say a huge winner here is the San Francisco 49ers, because the fact that you didn't – I mean, you got the second overall pick, which means you pretty much sucked. You got the best player in the draft, the second overall pick. Like, that's a win.
You got to mention they got the second overall pick because they had so many injuries last year. I mean, they were competitive in a lot of games.
So, you know what that says to me? To me, it says Kyle Shanahan was the right hire.
Yeah.
If he could be competitive with scraps. And here's the other question. Is Nick Mullins a good quarterback? There could be some value there.
I think both of him and CJ Beathard they're going to be career backups. But I mean that as a compliment. Like, I think they're both good players. Like, if you got one of those guys as your backup, you feel okay.
Sure. And especially with the team that they're putting around them, like, I think they addressed some needs. You know, God, it's just sad to see that they're picking another defensive lineman. It's like, it's kind of embarrassing that they've spent that many on defensive linemen, that many first-round draft picks, excuse me.
Yeah, Oakland had three first-round picks.
God, Oakland, biggest loser.
I don't think they nailed it.
Ugh, what were they doing? Okay, here's the thing. If the Cardinals had traded their pick before the draft and gotten something decent, I would have said that they would have been winners. But why would you wait till after the draft to trade Josh Allen? Rosen. It's like you give up all your leverage that you have.
What,
Because people
like,
know you got to trade him, like, you know?
It was a late, like, it wasn't a high pick that Miami had to trade, right?
It was a, like,
Was it a
late
third
second
rounder?
rounder, maybe
Like,
even a third. It
I'm
was like
trying
the
to find it.
64th overall pick, I think.
Why? Maybe it's later than I expected.
They were saying at one point that they were going to trade a second rounder, so I'm like,
62.
62. That
Yeah.
sucks. That's a steal.
And that's my whole thing about, like, why I don't like them taking Kyler Murray. Like, unless you think that this guy is going to be a blue chip, like, Hall of Fame, borderline Hall of Fame quarterback, like your guy, perennial Pro Bowler, All Pro for the next 2 decades, you have a lot of needs on your team, and you already have a quarterback that you got last year. Like, maybe they are completely out on Josh Rosen, and maybe they are absolutely in love with Kyler Murray, which I think Kingsbury is. But I still think if you're not out on Josh Rosen yet, this is not worth it. Like, you could have had Nick Bosa and Josh Rosen instead of having Kyler Murray in the 62nd pick.
It makes me wonder if they think that Josh Rosen's that bad.
They might, but I honestly, genuinely think it's more that they think Kyler Murray is that good. Which I, like, I don't know. I don't know how, like, I'm not out on Kyler Murray, but I think, I don't know. They had a guy that they liked that they took in the draft last year.
So, kind of a little, like, my take, I personally thought that Josh Rosen sucked.
I don't think he had a fair shake. Like, I think it was the same thing as what Jared Goff had his rookie year. That offense was hopeless. They had no chance to do anything.
Yes, I get it. I was not on the bandwagon for Josh Rosen before he even got drafted.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I'm not that high on him either. I don't know. I think odds are they're going to have a top 5, top 10 pick next year again. They don't have a ton of talent on their team. They made some good moves in free agency, but I don't see them getting out of the top 10.
T-Sizzle?
Didn't they get somebody else? Maybe they didn't. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
They may have gotten a safety, actually.
I talked about this on a podcast. I should know this.
Who knows? But, I mean, I think it's a two-horse race. Actually, three-horse race. I mean, I think the Seahawks are going to be competitive this year.
Yeah. But that division is going to be good. And they're clearly the worst team in the division. They got Jordan Hicks and Marcus Gilbert. And Kevin White. And Brett Hundley.
Kevin White, the most... Is he the most disappointing first-round pick ever?
No, because he's had to deal with injuries. They're,
yeah,
like,
but I think that I'm including that in disappointment.
But it's more disappointing if a guy doesn't get injured and just sucks than if a guy can't put it together because of injuries. And we've had plenty of guys that just flat-out blow that goal
such
really
as...
high. The Rams took Greg Robinson at 2. They cut him in 3 years. He's a tackle.
Isn't he somewhere now?
He's floating around, but he's not good.
Yeah, I knew he sucked. I just thought he was able to land on his feet somewhere.
What about
not necessarily on his feet, but I think he's still in the league.
Was it Justin Gilbert that the Browns took, I think, in the same draft, and he was out of the league in like 3 years? Cornerback?
Is he the guy from OK State?
I'm gonna tell you that right now. Yes.
Yeah, he sucked.
Yeah. Played 3 years out of the league. Unanimous All American in college. He didn't get hurt. He just wasn't good. Yeah, he had a couple of little injuries, but
I don't know. It's
Justin
it's
Blackmon.
A tough question. Was he the wide receiver from OK State?
Yeah.
OK State. Why does everyone have to suck who comes out of OK State? I mean, Dez Bryant seems to be the only one, and God, it sucks. Did he tear his Achilles or ACL? I think it was his Achilles, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It's gonna be. We'll see if he can come back. I hope he can. That sucked for him.
I think he's toast. Sucks. I mean, like, but that's what happens when you take one of those 1 year, I'm gonna bet on myself deals, you know.
Here you go. So to defend Oklahoma State, you mentioned Des Bryant, Chris Carson, Russell Okung,
Brandon Whedon.
That's not helping them.
I'm supposed to be trying to actively be helping them right now.
I was just trying to throw out some players that they have that played in the NFL. Who who would you say is your biggest loser? The Raiders? Thoughts on the Giants? Everyone's talking about them.
Giants? Oh my gosh. Okay, so Daniel Jones, just way too early to take him, I think. The big issue I have with the Raiders is, why would you take that guy so early? I get that you think that, like, he's the end-all, be-all, like, he's your guy, but you could have traded down and got him.
Yeah. I think they could have traded down with somebody between, like, 8 and 12 and still gotten that guy. I get, like, if you're so high on a guy, you don't want to pass him up, but for them, they could have gotten good picks to move back. And for the Giants, I think...
Someone trades up to draft Josh Allen. That's my two cents.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't think anyone could have seen him falling that far.
They would have had to trade back to a position where they were comfortable to get Cleveland Farrell, because clearly they wanted him. Maybe they didn't feel like they could do that, but I don't know. That was weird. Daniel Jones, look, if that's your guy, that's your guy. Take him. They probably could have had him at 17, but I don't know. I'm not trying to defend that. I don't think he's good. But, like, if they believe in him, I didn't take him.
My other big winner, so I said San Francisco, winners, Oakland, winners. Washington actually had an unreal draft.
Yeah.
Like, their first, like, 2-3 rounds, I liked every pick. I forget who they took. I mean, Dwayne Haskins makes so much sense. It's perfect. He's not going to have to come in this year and be the guy. They have Case Keenum for 2 years. So Case Keenum comes in. Who knows what's going to happen with Alex Smith? But he's got, like, a veteran that he can sit there and learn behind.
They grab Montez Sweat at 27.
Oh, huge.
Yeah, good pick.
Absolute they grabbed
Terry McLaurin out of Ohio State.
So yeah, the wide receiver. He's a stud. He's like one of the top wide receivers
together. Bryce Love out of Stanford. They drafted a running back in the fourth round.
I know, but I like it because now you have – Bryce Love was a beast at Stanford. I get it. He wasn't, like, that highly touted, but sometimes these guys are able to play well, you know?
It doesn't make me feel good about owning Darius Geis in my Dynasty League.
I think he's still the go-to guy there.
I hope.
I feel
they,
very
they got AP too. They re-signed AP.
Yeah, it's they got a stable. You know, it's the Pete Carroll mantra.
Not good for my fantasy guy.
Yeah, well, sucks, bro.
I drafted Geis knowing he was injured. I need him to give me something.
Yeah, we'll see. The Browns, I think, had who did they take in the first round?
They didn't have a pick, unless they traded back up later. They traded to the Giants.
Yeah, I think that trade was worth it.
Oh, yeah, dude. Odell's like 25.
Yeah.
They got Greedy Williams in the second round.
That's it, Greedy Williams, their second round pick. Love it.
Brown.
Putting him – he went to LSU. You put him there with Jarvis Landry and ODB, like
– I can't believe that the Browns are, like, have done a phenomenal job building a team. It's wild.
You know who also actually made a great pick for the first time ever? Actually, the last 2 years, the New York fucking Jets.
Jets fans are thrilled about, like, Quinnen Williams.
Quinnen Williams, dude, love it. I love the pick.
Yeah.
I actually almost thought that maybe he would be better than Nick Bosa, but, you know, they say that edge rushers are the most valuable. And, I mean, they're saying, I think even Joey has said that Nick Bosa is better than him.
Ja'Kai Polite, I know a lot of Rams fans wanted to get him. Jets grabbed him in the third round.
Who's he?
He's a linebacker out of Florida.
Wait, what's his name again?
Ja'Kai Polite.
Oh, dude, I love him.
Yeah, huge, a lot of Rams fans wanted him.
Yeah, dude, he's a beast. I think he's a bit of a head case, but no, he's a beast. Where did he go? Cleveland?
Florida. Sorry, the Jets.
Oh, yeah, Jets, man. Tore it up. They could be onto something, though. Who's their GM?
Is it still Woody Johnson?
No.
Yeah, no. He's the owner. They got the McCagnan.
It's the Giants who got the GM from the Panthers.
Yeah, Dave Gettleman. They didn't sign Odell to trade him.
They're fucked.
I'm sorry. If you're going to draft a quarterback, don't you want him to be able to throw the ball to fucking Odell Beckham? Like, Don't you think that would be helpful to his development?
Yeah, I'm with you. I got to look at the Broncos. I could have swore that they traded down for a pick.
They got Noah Fant, the other tight end from Iowa.
Yeah, but what was my question? What did they get for trading down? Was it really just a first and a third?
Yeah, but that's not bad. That's what it looks like.
I did not like that.
They got a they took a quarterback too, right? They took
Drew
Drew
Lock,
Lock and
guy out
Dalton
of
Risner. They
Missouri.
had a pretty good draft.
I know, but I just didn't like the trading of the pick.
I did an interview with Dalton Risner on our Rams Talk podcast. Seemed like a pretty cool
Really?
dude. Yeah, I did.
Where did he play? What did
Kansas
he what
State.
position? What position?
Tackle.
Oh, I did hear. I do think I saw that. That was their second round pick.
Yeah, right before Drew Lock.
Yeah, I like that. The only who is it? I think Josh. There's someone who's a beast who's still on the board, and I thought it would have been really cool for them to pair him with with Von Miller.
Yeah. Either way, they went all offense and
Who the
they
Bills
fucking
got?
needed it.
Oh yeah. It was Olivier Ver, the guy out of Houston,
Ed Oliver.
Ed Oliver. That guy, he's my pick as the best player out of this draft.
Yeah, that was a
If
good
Nick
pick.
Bosa's not.
Yeah. All right. I feel like we talked enough draft here.
I'm with you.
Any hoops thoughts before we close?
Can you explain James Butler to me?
Brett Brown, after the Sixers had a beautiful game two win against the Raptors, the head coach was talking about Jimmy Butler. He was like, "That was James Butler tonight. He played like an adult." Even though his name is just Jimmy, his full name is Jimmy Butler. And
That's
Jimmy, he
funny.
was like, "My name is Jimmy. I'm not a James."
Jeez. Do you think he was offended, or do you think him and BB are cool?
No, I actually think they have a good relationship. I
Is
think
Brown,
they've earned each other's respect.
Luke Walton, is he gone?
He's on the Kings.
I know, but did you see the
Oh,
allegations
yeah.
against him?
Dude, so
Are they going to
they.
fire him?
When I was watching, like, in a game one night, randomly at halftime, they just went out of their way to mention that story, talked about it for like. It was just Ernie Johnson, like, explaining what happened. And then they went to commercial. Like, I couldn't believe that they just mentioned it to make people aware that it happened and then didn't talk about it for the rest of the show. Like, I
Huh.
was shocked that like TNT and the NBA would like let that happen.
Yeah,
But
interesting.
yeah, I don't I will I mean we'll see when everything comes out, but I'm personally
Rockets toast.
well if they lose the game at home, they're toast. But yeah, I think the Warriors are in the driver's seat. The East is interesting. I don't
Who you got, Bucks or Celts?
I'm taking the Sixers right now. In that series, I'm still taking
No,
the
in
Bucks
that
though.
series. Okay.
The Bucks. I'm not picking Boston. I'm not going on the record picking Boston ever.
I watched Brad Stevens coach the worst coach game of all time.
Well, what about
Why didn't he call a timeout?
are you sure you're not talking about Popovich? Or no,
No.
when did he have to call a timeout?
They went on like a 27 and 5 run.
I'm happy about that because they went on a 22-0 run against the Sixers last year and we didn't call a timeout. So I'm glad it happened to
Why?
Brad.
Dude, your team goes on like a 7-point run. I'm using one of my timeouts. I'm
Not
sorry.
a great year for
He had
Brad.
four. He had four timeouts left. I was like, dude, what are you doing? He's just sitting there watching.
Not Brad's best moments, man.
Dude, they just need another superstar.
The Celtics?
Yes.
They got fucking plenty. They've
I told
so
you.
many good players.
I don't trade Tatum for AD. It's just my 2 cents.
I mean, yeah, do it if you can. Hey, I'm taking the Sixers coming out of the East. I'm feeling good right now. It's a homer pick for sure, but it's a pick I'm making. We had a nice, hard-fought victory against Toronto last night or Monday.
Well,
We play again
we'll see what happens.
Thursday.
Other than that, bro, I don't have anything else.
All righty. Well, then I think we can end the podcast.
What song are you gonna end it on? You gotta pick a song. If it was up to me, I'd play Me by Taylor Swift.
Well, pick another song and I'll play it, because I'm not playing that.
Red by Taylor Swift.
Pick a song not by Taylor Swift.
That was not the stipulation. The first just, stipulation just for was that. I'll pick that song and I'll play it.
Okay, I got a song. Just because of your comments, we're going out to
perfect.
This.
It's going to be what? Kendrick Lamar, To Pimp a Butterfly?
No, but... Hey, we did a podcast in 2 weeks, so maybe we'll be back sooner than you expect. We'll definitely come back to talk about the Game of Thrones finale. Actually,
Didn't have hot takes, except
I just really wanted to talk about that movie, man.
Game of Thrones sucks. Yeah, no, I had to. Had to dissect it. What song are you picking? Or are you just going to go right into it and let me hear it?
Here we go.
Man, I can understand how it might be kind of hard to love a girl like me. I don't blame you much for wanting to be free. I just wanted you to know.
Swiss only let the beat rock. Southside niggas that know me best, I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Why? I made that bitch famous.
Goddamn.
I made that bitch famous for all the girls that got dick from Kanye West. If you see him in the streets, give him Kanye's best. Why? They mad they ain't famous.